pray. Now, gracious God, may this word that is your word come alive in each of us in such a way that it makes a difference in how we live this day and in how we live in the week ahead. Amen. These words of Jesus that I just read are something of a prelude to Jesus' farewell discourse, which the next three chapters of John contain. Here Jesus speaks of his own glorification, of being glorified in God being glorified in him. On another occasion, Jesus said it this way: "If you've seen me, you've seen God. In essence, if you know me, you know God." And then he says, "I give you this new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples." This commandment Jesus referred to as a new commandment is set in the context of the great commandment. Jesus was asked to ask about what was the great commandment in the law. So he reached back into the Old Testament and he said, "The great commandment is the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." He reached back there again and he said, pulled out this second one, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said, "On these two commandments hang everything else, hang all the law and the prophets." Everything comes under the umbrella of these two commandments, including the new commandment to love one another just as Jesus has loved us. The one common thread, the central focal point here, is that me? Somebody else, I'm sure, but just bear with that if it happens again. The one common thread, the central focal point here is love, indeed the greatest love of all, which is God's love. And this love is at the heart of the matter, whether we're talking about our personal relationship with God, where we're talking about our life together as the church, or whether we're talking about the community of faith and our relationship to the community around us. Love is at the heart of the matter. We're talking about God's love, fully expressed, completely expressed in Jesus himself. This love is extravagant, it's limitless, it's boundless, it never ends. It's a whatever it takes kind of love. And God gives it freely. There's nothing we can do or say to earn this love, and there's nothing we can do or say to deter this love. For this love is not about who we are, it's about who God is. It's like the little girl, 4 years old, came to her pastor one Sunday morning and said, "I would like to sing in church today." And he said, "Okay, you can sing in church today. You can sing the call to worship." So at the beginning of the service, she stood up before the congregation and she sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And there was this pause. She raised her hands and said, "And that's that. That's that. Jesus loves me, this I know." That is that. We're talking about God's love. God's love. Unconditional. God's love. Relentless. Seeking, searching. Love that will not let us go. Whatever it takes kind of love. I love the way my wife, Minna, talks about growing up in her primary Sunday school department of her church. She says there was a picture on the wall of Jesus with a child in his lap. And she said she knew without a doubt that she was the child sitting in Jesus' lap. Because you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, or the Bible tells me so. And Jesus exemplified this very love of God in his life and ministry and in so many different ways. I think of all the ways that Jesus exemplified love and talked about love, illustrated it. I love the story he tells of the shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one got lost. 99 were safe and sound, so the shepherd left the 99 who were safe and sound and went looking for the one that was lost. And he searched and he searched and he searched until he found him. And he came back rejoicing, for the one that had been lost was now found. There's a wonderful painting that depicts this scene. Here's this sheep on this very steep hill. He's slipped down off the edge. He's just barely hanging on. And there's the shepherd who's found him. The shepherd is stretched off the side of that hill himself. He's got one hand on a rock up on top. And he's holding on, his arms. And he's reached down as far as he can reach. And he's just about to grab the sheep and pull him to safety. I love that painting. It depicts so much of this seeking shepherd, this shepherd who does whatever it takes, God's love that never ends, God's love that is eternal, God's love that goes on and on and on. Alan Levi's song depicts something of this scene, though he doesn't mention it, he doesn't talk about it. Alan Levi is a singer-songwriter from Columbus, Georgia. He has a unique way of looking at a situation or taking a passage of Scripture or someone's experience, primarily his own experiences, and talking about it in music, putting lyrics to it, taking it from an unusual angle, and then making, you know, finding the essence, the meaning of what he's trying to say. So he wrote a song called Meant to Be Found. He said one year his 10 nieces and nephews came to his house and had a big Easter egg hunt at Easter time. And they had a great time, and, you know, they found the eggs, and everybody was happy, got lots of eggs. And said later on that year in the summer, he was mowing his lawn, and he was mowing around one of the little trees in the yard, and he looked up, and there in the fork of a tree was an Easter egg that they'd missed. And he said, as I mowed the lawn that day, I got to thinking about that egg, and he said, I wonder what the egg thought when he wasn't found. So he wrote the song from the perspective of the Easter egg that was not found. Listen to these lyrics. Listen to this. So this is the Easter egg now. I know I was hidden, but the actual plan was someone to find me, pick me up in their hand, someone to hold me and carry me home. When the hunt was all over and my friends were discovered, I was too well hidden, I was too well covered. Now I'm just an orphan. I'm here all alone. But I was born for the basket to be carried around, meant to be made to be looked for and meant to be found. I've been living for weeks in the fork of a tree, enduring the rain that was falling on me. I'm hurt and I'm heartsick. Just what do I do? I'm melting in June every day. I just cry. How will I survive a Georgia July? My color was purple. Now I'm perfectly blue. But I was born for the basket to be carried around, made to be looked for, and meant to be found. Just like a daddy comes home at the end of a day, his little boy sees him and runs away. He says, try catch me, daddy, but you know in his heart he wants to be chased and he wants to be caught. You may know these feelings I'm trying to describe. You've been hurt before, so you thought you should hide, but you're made to be captured It is heaven's design. Well, I'm faded and brittle and breaking apart, but nonetheless I'm sweet in the heart, and I'd be much obliged if you'd treat me kind. For I was born for the basket, to be carried around, made to be looked for, and meant to be found. Now you were meant for your Maker. You were meant to be found. You know, I don't really think the sheep intended to get lost, by the way. In fact, I think he probably was in the middle of the flock. And all he did was find some nice grass. And he put his head down and he started nibbling. And he nibbled here and he nibbled there. And he just kept his head down and he kept nibbling. And he finally, when he stopped nibbling, he looked up and he was lost. He was lost. I'm not sure any of us intend to get lost. Maybe we're like the sheep. We just start nibbling somewhere. We start looking here, we look there, and we look over there. And, you know, before we know it, we're not where we're supposed to be. We're lost. We're out of sorts. We're out of place. But let us know we're meant to be found. Meant to be found. God is a seeking, searching God with a whatever it takes kind of love that will not let us go, because we're meant to be found. God's love, I submit, will not let us go. This love is at the heart of the matter, and this is what God is all about. Obviously, he's all about this when he went, held nothing back, gave everything in his son Jesus, sending him because he so loved the world, sending him, giving himself completely and fully, emptying himself in the world and his love in the world. And Jesus himself, who died on the cross for our sins, who was raised from the dead so that we might have life, abundant in life eternal. This is God's love. It never ends. And this is what God is about. And if love is what God is about, then love is what we must be about. Love that is like God's love, the very love of Jesus, fully exemplified, is the goal. We're compelled to embrace and grow more and more into that kind of love, to more and more love one another as Jesus loves us. Now, I'm not suggesting that's easy. Sometimes it's easier to love people we don't know than we do know. But it's not easy. But it's what we're compelled to lean into and to seek to live into. As God's church, as the community of faith. My wife, Minna, and I married when we were 20 years old. We were college students at Huntingdon College in Montgomery, Alabama, United Methodist School. And how we were going to figure out how to make that work, I was a ministerial student. So I had gotten my license to preach, and I was appointed to a little church in Coosa County, Alabama, up in central Alabama, about 40 miles from Montgomery. So we married and moved into the church parsonage and started serving that church, going to school full-time. They were used to having a student pastor, so they welcomed us, received us, a great place to start out. And we commuted into school every day and served the church as well. We soon met Mr. Bobby Granger, one of the members of the church, known by everyone as Mr. Bobby. Mr. Bobby played the 5-string banjo, and he played it well, and he was a 2-finger picker. And I said to him one day, I said, "Mr. Bobby, can you teach me to play the banjo?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I can teach you to play the banjo. It'll take about 15 minutes. Boy, I said, "Okay." He said, "And 15 years practice." Well, you won't see me showing up with my five-string banjo to play with this wonderful group we have on a Sunday morning, because I did the 15 minutes, but I didn't do the 15 years practice. Love like Jesus love takes some practice, you know. It's really a lifetime of practice, because it's a journey. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. It takes opening ourselves more and more to God's love, for that love is at the heart of the matter. That love is at the heart of Jesus. That love is what God puts in our heart. So that it can be shared, right? Jesus said, "You'll know my disciples." You know, if they have love for one another, you'll know it's them. You'll know it's them. And he knew how hard it is sometimes for folks who know each other to love each other, because he had 12 disciples who got to know each other, and sometimes it was hard for them to love each other, you know. This is what Paul called the more excellent way, the Apostle Paul, this love. He said there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the way. As Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry says in his book, he takes those three words, faith, hope, and love, and he says faith is trust. It's even when trusting in that, even when it's trusting in that which we cannot see. And then there's hope. Hope is the energy that keeps us going, says Curry. When the gravity of reality would otherwise defeat us, hope puts the wind in the sails of faith. So if hope and faith are the wind and the sails, love is the rudder. It's the guide. It tells us what to do. Our mission as Cokesbury Church is to bring Christ to people and people to Christ. How can we better live this out than have love for one another? It takes a lot of practice. Might even take a lifetime. But it's a journey. It's what we're on. When I think of this journey of love, I think of Mary. Mary was 80 years old when she taught Bible school at the church we were serving. She had quite a few children in her class. There were two little boys, brothers, who had two friends who were brothers they wanted to invite, and they did, and the two little brothers came. And they were in Miss Mary's class all week. At the end of the week, Miss Mary said, "Now we have a Bible school program on Sunday, so you go home and tell your parents to come Sunday morning and bring you and be a part of the Bible school program that will be a part of our worship experience." And so the little boys went home, and that's what they did. And their parents showed up that Sunday. And that family showed up the next Sunday, and the next, and the next. And about 3 months later, they called me and said, "We'd like to talk with you." So they came by my office, and they said, "You know, may be hard for you to imagine, but we've never been in church before." I said, "Oh, you mean since you were children?" "Oh, no. We were never taken as children. We never went as children." "Oh, so you were in a youth group?" "No." "We've never been before." Never been to a worship service in a church until 3 months ago. When our little boys came home and said, "We've got to be there Sunday. We've got to be there. It's a Bible school program." They said, "Amazing things have happened to us since then, and we we want to be a part of this. How do we become a part of this? What do we need to, what is it all about? It was a great day when that couple and their two little boys stood before the church and made a profession of faith and were baptized. Miss Mary loved those two little boys. One of those little boys decided God was calling him into ministry a little bit later on. As Bishop Curry said, love is the way. As the little girl said, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And that's that. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Let us pray. Your love is boundless, O Lord, and limitless. It's all-encompassing, all-embracing. It's a searching, seeking love. Thank you for it. Thank you for not letting us go, not leaving us to our own devices. Thank you for loving us and enabling us to know this love in our hearts and lives and in our life together as the church. May this love be the mark. May it be what others see. May we be known as your disciples because we have love for one another, and may this love overflow in such a way that it finds its way into the lives and families, into those around us, into this community. Or this love is not something internal, it's really external. It is to be shared. In the name of Christ, amen.